Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 103 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Who knew it would go on this long? And there's still so much to talk about. So this week's episode is based on a listener request. Just to let you know, we do take listener requests. We often turn questions that people have approached us with into a full episode if we feel it's something that warrants a full episode, which in many cases it does. So feel free to head over either to our website, longdistancemarriage.com, or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Mr. Mrs. Distance. You can shoot us a message, comment on our post. We often post polls as well. So we do want to know what you want to hear, especially now that we are running out of ideas after more than 100 episodes. You are listeners. We want to help you. So please let us know what you're struggling with. In many cases, we might refer you to an existing episode because we have done quite a few. But if something doesn't answer your question or there's an aspect you want us to dive a bit deeper into, we can certainly do that. And that's what we're doing today. So someone got in touch with us.
We had an Instagram poll.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You go ahead. You take it from here, sir.
So we had an Instagram poll asking what you want to hear from us more, looking ahead to next year. And one of the ones that came back was about whether or not before you closed, most of the questions are around closing distance and visas and things. So it's good to hear that people are looking that far ahead and there's some light at the end of the tunnel for you guys. We have got some episodes on closing distance, on visas. Our big caveat with visas is there's obviously more than one. The rules change. Here since Andrea moved, they've changed
multiple times.
Yeah, and then each country has its own, and they're not the simplest of things. So, we can never say we're a definitive source of information, you guys. We'd always say, really, you want to be looking at official documentation. If you can afford it, you want to get a lawyer. Failing that, there are forums where people who have just done it or are just doing it are talking and getting advice. They're much more current. So the advice we give on visas is going to be slightly more generic and top level. But we do have some information on it. We've got at least one episode on it, and our Ultimate Guide to Long-Distance Relationships has a whole chapter on closing the distance, which includes preparing to do it, what you need to consider, the questions you may need to ask yourselves and each other, visas, and then actually closing the distance and life afterwards.
And I think it's worth noting as well that on the visa aspect of our episode and also what's in the guide is very much what you need to do for yourself during that time and the questions you need to ask and where to get help. As Rich said, we can only speak from our experience, which was almost a decade ago now, and from one country to another, every country is different. So
also countries with good relations. Moving from America to England, certainly at the time, was very straightforward. I mean, even just putting that in reverse, moving from England to America isn't nearly as simple.
It wasn't at the time. We don't know now.
It's not. I mean, America's not an easy country to...
No, but I'm saying it might be harder to get into England.
Oh, yeah, it may well be. But, so the experience we went through was not the most difficult, was not the longest. Mm-hmm. Yes, it cost money. Yes, it was still stressful. But, we didn't move from a country with strained relations to another one,
Yeah.
So, but that said, we think some of the more valuable information around moving, the visa is only one part of that. And it's very easy to get so focused on the visa that you either don't really consider or you just neglect to think about the accompanying issues. That's one where we're much more qualified to talk about, and two, we think it's important to talk about that because it's the information that's easy to overlook. With a visa that there's a lot to do, there's a lot to think about, so you're probably going to be doing that. But it's the other accompanying thing you need to think about too. So we try and go deeper on that aspect. So if this is in your future, go ahead, pick up our guide. You can get it on the resources tab of our website. The link is also available in our Instagram and Twitter bios if you follow us on there. And as I said, there's a previous episode on visas. So we will do more of this next year, though, given that it's such a popular request. But the one we're doing today someone asked, again, it's still around closing the distance and moving, but the specific question was, before you do that, should you be engaged? Should there be a ring involved before you agree and commit to moving? So we decided to do this one because, well, firstly, it's a question that we've not had asked before. We thought it was an interesting one. And secondly, we went through exactly that.
Yeah. And I mean, this could be a very short episode. It's up to you.
See you next week.
But yeah, that is really what it comes down to. If you feel you want to be engaged before you make the move, that is completely valid. And if you're disagreeing on that, you know, you don't want to come to any ultimatums, and that's, you know, maybe we'll dive into that a little bit, but really, you're not wrong to want to be engaged before you move, and you're not wrong if you don't feel it's not a problem. So you might find that you're at a bit of an impasse with this, potentially, in your relationship. One of you might feel it's really necessary to be engaged before you close the distance, and one of you might not feel like it's a big deal. In our case, I did feel that was necessary. I was the one who was going to be making the move, and I was going to be moving 5,000 plus miles away. So for me, it was really important. I can see in different situations, though, that if maybe you're only moving an hour or two away and it's not as huge of a life transition, that maybe it doesn't feel necessary. But yeah.
Well, why don't you talk a little bit about why you felt the need? Because there's a couple of ways of looking at this, right? And one of them is, why do you want it? Because if it's a case of, oh, I want some certainty, or, you know, I want to make a big gesture to show that this is going somewhere. I mean, the counter argument to that is me wanting you to emigrate and be together and probably live together if you're closing the distance to that kind of distance, is in itself a big gesture and indicative that they see future in this relationship. So if the person that you're telling, if your partner, if you're telling them, look, it's important to me that we get engaged, and they're a bit hesitant because they're thinking, well, you know, I want to be with you, but I kind of saw marriage being 5 years down the line, but this in itself is me showing you that I want a future. What was the reason? Why is it so important to have that ring?
So for me, it was somewhat assurance. I think, I mean, you never really had displayed any behavior to make me think you weren't committed. Obviously, we'd had our speed bumps before, but I think in our case, we had known from the time we were, 17, from the time we talked, that, like, I could marry this person. Like, from just talking to each other online, we knew the compatibility was there, and we knew that that was likely. So I think in my mind, it's like, well, this isn't much of a leap. Like, we've talked about getting married for a really long time. We know it's in the cards. And for me, I felt like I have a good life here. Like, you know, I loved my family. I had excellent friends. Like, it wasn't like I was running away from anything. So while it was something I was excited to do, to move away and start a life here with Rich, it wasn't like it was my last resort by any means. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, I love him and I need to get away from what I'm at. So I felt that I needed some sort of, I guess guarantee feels a bit manipulative, and it wasn't like that at all. But I did need some sort of guarantee that, like, yes, I'm happy to move there and I want to move there. But I've always been the type of person who doesn't love in half measures and doesn't go into relationships because, well, we'll see where it'll go. You know, I am quick to make decisions in terms of, like, judging people's character and knowing what I want. So for me, it was, yeah, I want to be with you. And if you're happy for me to make this move and do this, then I think you should also be happy to give me the type of commitment that I need in life and that we already know we want to do. And luckily, you know, I think you had to come around to that a little bit, but it wasn't a big deal, a big kind of process.
No, I wasn't opposed to it. I suppose, as I said before, it sped things up.
Absolutely.
Because we hadn't spent an awful lot of time together. You know, we'd been talking for a long time, and the time we'd spent together was constant.
Yeah.
And it added up. But, you know, from you first landing here to us moving back, being engaged,
it was around seven, eight months.
It was June to June.
But time that we actually spent together.
Yeah, but calendar months.
From meeting in person.
Yeah, from meeting in person to coming back, it was around about a year.
It was almost exactly a year.
So you know, it wasn't a huge amount of time. So obviously, that being in my mind was like, okay, well, yeah, you're trying to do some quick thinking on it. But I understood. I thought it wasn't an unfair request. Like I said, it wasn't an ultimatum. It was, look, I'm doing this huge thing here. And, you know, I suppose if you wanted to be argumentative about it, you'd say, well, it's not really any reassurance because engagements can be broken off, you know. But I understand why someone wouldn't want to move that far to be a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like a promotion to become a fiancé, you know, with a bit more of a concrete... I know that some engagements can go on for a very long time. That was never our plan. And certainly on the visa, that was never possible. The visa gave us, I think, 6 months
mm-hmm.
to get married. So that had to be considered as well. Like, if we do this, it's not just we'll get engaged and we'll deal with it in the future. It was, if we get engaged, it does mean marriage is happening in the near future. So obviously you have to think, do I actually want to marry this person? And obviously that didn't catch me off guard. That we had spoken about that. Mm-hmm. We knew that was our future anyway. It wasn't an ultimatum. It was we were discussing where we were going to live, what we were going to do, and it was a case of, you know, yeah, we'll move to England, but if we do that, I'd want to be engaged.
So
I didn't think it was unreasonable. I didn't take it as an ultimatum. It wasn't a threat. It wasn't a, we need to get engaged or I'm leaving you. It was, if that's going to be where we go, I want to be engaged to go there.
Yeah, it was so, all very calm and friendly.
Yeah,
there was no arguments around it. I mean, I remember there was not even an argument, but it got a bit animated. You kind of said, like, I do like telling people this. We were in a car, like, driving from California to Arizona to see family or back and forth. I can't remember which, and we're talking about it because it was getting to the point where, like, you'd been out in America with me for several months and we were like, okay, well, like, we're gonna have to be apart again. Like, how are we gonna deal with that? And I was like, you know, we know we want to get married. Like, we know that's the easiest way to do the visa process at the time it was. You know, why don't we just start looking at that? And you were kind of just like, well, yeah, but I just don't know if I'm ready to settle down. I'm like, you live with your mom and your stepdad. You don't have friends like in the town because you'd moved away to live with them. And I was like, what amazing like party life are you leaving? And you were just like, yeah, I guess that's true.
But I mean, it's not just that. Settling down is, marriage is a long-term commitment. It's not just looking at your immediate what's life like.
Yeah,
anyway,
we both
lived
knew
at home. I wasn't getting married to someone who was going to give me this penthouse lifestyle. You know?
Oh, wow. Charming.
So we had to... You know, it's a valid thing to not sure you're ready for it.
Yeah.
And it's a thought you should have. But
I also think for me, going back to why I felt that need, I was very conscious of our past, you know, and if you've listened to episode one, where you've heard snippets of us talk about it across different episodes, we had a false start. We were supposed to meet. It didn't work out. Rich didn't really back out, but highlighted the issues of us being so young and trying to be long distance and how little we would see each other. And it was right, but it was devastating. So I think I did not want to be the girl that was going to get screwed over twice. And again, you know, once we started talking again, after that first time it didn't work out, Rich gave me no indications that he was going to screw me over. He had to reassure me a lot. Like, when we started, like, do we want to meet? And I was like, well, I'm kind of scared because of what happened last time, which was fair. And he did everything he should do to reassure me. But I think I was just aware that, like, I don't want to be the girl that chases a guy that isn't happy to chase back. That didn't mean that, like, I'm only going to move there if you're going to marry me. But it was very much like, I need to know that I'm uprooting my entire life, paying thousands of dollars in visas and building my life around you in a new country because you're serious about this. And that was understandable to you.
Yeah, it was. And, yeah, it comes down to the why. That was your why. If you're thinking, because people make this mistake in no distance relationships, you know, like, oh, I don't really know where this relationship's going, or they've been cheating on me or whatever. So, you know, let's get married.
Mm-hmm.
Or for some people, let's have a kid, that'll keep us together. And yeah, it's never the best reason for doing it. If you're saying, I want to have the ring and the engagement because then I'll have them, like, under control, that's not a good reason to do it. And I'd say no. And reevaluate some things. You need to get your house in order before you do that. If you're thinking, like you did, that it's, I want to have that ring, I want to have that engagement because I want to know for sure this is going somewhere, that we're on the same page, that I'm going to build my life around them there, and, you know, it's going to be part of marriage. To me, that's a very different, much more justified outlook on it. Now, as you said at the beginning, the answer to this question really is that it's up to you, because if it's not a big deal to you, if you're happy just to see where it goes, if you think, look, the moving in itself and then wanting me to move and start this new life somewhere in itself is a big enough reason for me to feel, or is a big enough thing for me to feel that it's serious, that we're going somewhere, great. You know, there are plenty of people who don't want to get married, still think it's just a piece of paper, don't mm-hmm. want the government to get involved in the relationship. You know, whether or not we agree with that's irrelevant. The point is, if marriage isn't your thing, you don't need to feel compelled to get married. If you want to spend your life with someone but not be married, that's up to you. That's
yeah,
valid.
Totally. So,
and distance really has no impact on that, in the sense that you could live two streets away, one of you wants to get married, one of you doesn't want to get married, but you both want to spend the rest of your life together. That's an issue that is not only brought around by distance, you know. So there's distance is an added factor of complexity, and maybe it expedites these conversations. But if you don't want to get married, closing the distance shouldn't be a reason that you do. Because what's going to happen is you'll have an unhappy marriage. You have someone who feels trapped. And, you know, not to generalise too much, but when someone feels trapped, that's really asking for trouble. That's people who are going to, you know, feel like they need to cheat. They need to blow off some steam. They need to spend more time with their friends. They need to not be as present in the marriage as you'd like them to be because they feel trapped. It's the last thing you want, is for someone to be there through what they feel as force.
Absolutely. And I do just want to touch on a point I said a minute ago about, you know, being the girl that chases a guy. There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people view what I did as chasing the guy. What I mean by I didn't want to be the girl chasing the guy was that I didn't want to be going into something that wasn't reciprocated. And yeah. I think that's true for everyone. Like, yeah. Make big moves, do big gestures for guys. Like, I think it's very romanticized that, you know, men should always be making the big grand gestures, but men deserve those too. And, you know, women should make those gestures, or, you know, whatever kind of sexual orientation is in your relationship. Both partners deserve big gestures. And, you know, I wanted to do that, but it's not chasing if it's not unfounded, if that makes sense. If you know, like, yes, this person's going to welcome me with open arms. I'm not, you know, what is it? Beating a dead horse? Flogging mm-hmm. a dead horse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's all I really mean there. So, yeah, for us and for me particularly, it was necessary. And like I said, a lot of that was because of the magnitude of the move. You know, if I met someone a couple hours away, you know, I maybe wouldn't have felt the same way. That, oh, you know what, I'll move there, I'll get my own apartment, you know, like, it's cool, whatever, or I'll move in with them and we'll see what happens. But the upheaval to your life needs to be taken in consideration and what you're comfortable with. I was very aware that for me, I would be paying money to come and live here and get a visa, whatever that was, even if it wasn't a marriage visa, and putting myself through stress for, if it was a job, you know, a work visa, it'd be interviews and, you know, a really big process. And then if it didn't work out, it meant going home and living with that disappointment and having to explain to people what happened, you know, and...
Yeah, but building on that, you need to also consider the enormity of marriage, because if you move and you build up your new life in this new country, and it doesn't work out, yeah, it's always going to be kind of a big deal to go back. You know, you're going to have that upheaval in reverse, although more likely with friends and family over there, it's not going to be as difficult to at least, you know, reestablish. But when you're married, that means divorce mm-hmm. and everything that comes with it. And divorce, I mean, even a quick divorce takes time. There may be animosity in there. You know, there's going to be splitting of assets. Now, depending on how old you are and how long you've been together and whether or not you've got kids and how much money you've actually got, that'll be a...
factor.
That'll be a simple or complex thing. But it's not the same as when you're not married and you say, this isn't working out, I'm on a plane tomorrow, see you later. Divorce is going to keep you in each other's lives for longer. It's a much messier process. I don't honestly know. I don't think being from another country would have much impact in the outcome of it, other than it's going to keep you in the country for longer while it's going on. You know, so things like that you need to consider, and you know, don't rush into this as like a. I suppose we touched on this in the unrealistic expectations episode last week. If you've been unnecessarily influenced by, you know, Disney movies and rom-coms and things like that, where you think, oh, marriage is fantastic and it's going to look like this, it's going to look like that. The reality of it isn't always going to be like that. And we've been very candid about when we first got our first place together, there was stress and there was arguments and it was difficult. And a lot of couples would have survived it like we did, but I think a lot of couples would have thrown in the towel. It was tough. So you need to also really make sure you're going into marriage with eyes wide open of what you're in for and how much effort it's going to take. And are you both up to that? Are you both committed to that at that moment in time? Because if not, that ring could add a layer of complexity and trouble to your life that you're not prepared for and not willing to deal with.
Yeah, it could. So I think the real question isn't so much, do you have to have a ring? It's, is this the right relationship to make a move for? And that brings everything into consideration, whether it's a relationship that could end in divorce, which you're never going to know. You know, no one goes into a marriage thinking, yeah, we'll end up getting divorced someday. You know, there's things that take people by surprise. But yeah, that's really what it's about, is thinking about all the different outcomes. And it's not necessarily spontaneous and romantic, but that is still involved. I mean, we certainly felt like that kind of year and a half period of our lives was a whirlwind of excitement and spontaneity and newness, but we also talked a lot about things and communicated constantly and discussed and weighed and measured, and we didn't do pro and con lists, but we talked about things like that. So, you know, it comes back to that thing that I always say, that sometimes it's like running a business. And when you open a business, you look at everything that could go wrong. You look at your strategy and what things are going to be like. And going into closing the distance, you need to talk about that too.
Yeah, I mean, and look, if you listen to us for a length of time, it can sound like every decision we make is like a board meeting. And but that's looking back on these things now that we're in our 30s and with hindsight and lessons behind us. You know, the reality is when we made the decisions, we did have the conversations, but it wasn't. There was more romance involved than it may sound like.
A lot of it took place over a nice date night meal.
Exactly.
Like, it wasn't,
and
like...
It was, oh, let's move to England. You know, let's do this. And, yeah, we talk about things. And one of those conversations clearly was, you know, I want to be married. Or, you know, you saying you want to be engaged for it to happen. But we're not saying take the spontaneity out, the romance out. And it still needs to feel like a relationship. It still needs to give you those feelings that you want.
Okay, it was still a surprise when you proposed. It wasn't like that was all arranged. Like, okay, well, on the 15th, you're going to go buy a ring.
Yeah.
And the next day, we're going to go to dinner here, and you're going to ask me. Yeah. You know, I didn't know when or how or anything it was going to happen.
Yeah, so that, you know, we're distilling a period of time into a short episode here, but we don't want to give the false impression that it's, you've got to sit there, you know, with an accountant and a lawyer and all that and think, okay, because your life shouldn't be purely logical decisions. There's always a way out of things if they do go wrong, but the thing you need to consider is, how big of an ordeal is that way out gonna be? So in the case of being married and getting a divorce and then moving back home thousands of miles away potentially, you know, that's a bigger effort and more time than being boyfriend or girlfriend and moving back home, where you can just pack up and leave. And again, having a child in the mix complicates things even further. Even if everything's amicable, if you want to take that child to another country and the other biological parent is in another country, with or without lawyers and legal systems involved, you two are going to have to come to a very difficult arrangement there, which very well may mean one parent doesn't see that child, or certainly not every other weekend.
Mm.
So it's just about any other thing in life where you say, you know, this has to be a grown-up conversation, a grown-up decision. I think question one for me would be, really think about, what's the reason you want that ring? Is it like you know, maybe you want some extra security, maybe you want that extra gesture, maybe it's, I want to move because I want if we're going to do this, then let's get married. Let's start building that life we want. Let's not move to get married in 5 or 10 years, and I don't want to move and tread water. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
If it's I want to get engaged because it will stop him messing around, or it will stop her spending all her time with her friend, or whatever, then that's probably not as good of a reason. So there's no right or wrong answer to this. It's very personal. You both have to come to an agreement. Is marriage itself right for you? Is moving right for you? Are you moving to the right country for you both? And for us, where we moved was kind of easy because you thought I'd be a duke and we'd live in a castle and have all this sort of...
I didn't think that. I hoped. And but, you know, still like, do.
Moving to England is fine. And there's a lot of history here and maybe you have
it,
these...
It appealed to me.
There's, yeah, exactly. It's not this... If you're moving to... And it's a safe country, you know, and there's benefits different here. If you're facing moving to a dangerous country or...
One you just don't really
one
like.
One you don't like. One where there's frequent wars, you know, where you just think there's a... Do you know what? There's, for any number of reasons, I don't want to live in that country. That's very different. It's 100% different to what we went through. Especially if your partner doesn't want to move to your country for whatever reason. You know, we were... I didn't really want to move to America, and I was quite open about that, but it also coincided that you wanted to move here more than I wanted to move there. It was, and it was certainly easier to come here. So, yeah, a few things aligned on that.
But you've changed your mind since then. You've happened.
Yeah, that, yeah. You know, it. When you're 23, your opinions change over...
Thankfully, mine hasn't.
Yeah, but if both of you don't want to move to the other person's country, it's difficult. Again, we briefly discussed moving to an independent country. We decided not to. But, you know, that's an option. You say, look, I don't want to move to your country. I don't want to move to your country. Maybe you think it's not fair that one of you has all their friends and family and network around and the other one leaves everything. So, you know, we know of couples who just move to a new country and start again. I think that brings difficulties. Yeah, we've had listeners and things like that who do. But that brings its own difficulties because what if... If you've got no network around you and you have kids and there's no one to do the babysitting, if you know there's no one around to help you, you are completely starting from scratch. All credit to you, but
yeah,
you know
it's hard.
So there's a lot to unpack in this, and it's going to be different for everyone who listens and all the different situations. But start with the question of why, and then look ahead to what do we want, where are we going to live, what's important to us.
Yeah, absolutely. But it doesn't come down to ring or not a ring. I think that's an important thing to talk about, but it comes down to what's the right decision in terms of who moves where. And, you know, I might be a bit biased because this was my experience, but I think the person making the move, you know, you need to think about what they want because it is, especially if you're moving far. And I'm not saying that, you know, you have to do what the person who is moving wants to do. Like, that's not how it is. But it needs to be taken really seriously because it is a huge adjustment. But it's something you have to talk about. And I think, you know, if you want to get married, whichever one of you that is, and the other person is like, well, I don't want to do that before we move, and I don't really know if I believe in marriage, you need to think about that. Do you want to be with someone doesn't want to get married when marriage is important to you? Like, that, remove the distance from that situation. If you were dating someone that lived in the same town and getting married was really important to you and they didn't believe in marriage, that would affect your decision making. So you need to look at it that way too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
so yeah, I think we covered everything in there that we wanted to. Obviously, if you have any questions, let us know. I already told you where you can find us on social and our website. Keep an eye out for more polls on Instagram.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram. You can help shape future episodes. You can we'll be putting questions and polls up for what you want to hear, what requests you've got, and what other things you may want from us. It doesn't have to be podcast episodes. You know, if there's resources that you want and whatnot, we're open to considering them. So follow us, and you can help take part in that.
Absolutely. Have a good week, guys. Bye.